About a year and a half ago, I was introduced to the College Station Bryan Brazos Valley Market. For our purposes, we draw from a fairly large 50 to 60 mile radius. Specifically in this region, as Bill mentioned, with over 300,000 people in the region and zero inpatient beds, there is just a dearth of services that we are excited to fill. But I'll have to tell you, I usually go into communities and try and find a few people to meet with to sort of talk about, do they really see a need for these types of services? You know, psychiatric hospitals and behavioral health facilities aren't always a wanted thing in certain communities. And so I usually have to tread pretty lightly. But I'll have to tell you, you have a champion in this community in Tom Jackson that did an amazing job. I sat down with Tom, and in one meeting, he turned and convinced me to not only come back, but had me meet with probably 20 or 25 people who began to tell me about the need in this region. You know, Tom had me meet with every stakeholder you can imagine, and we were so fortunate, really, to be able to understand the marketplace fairly quickly and understand the needs that were here. My partners and I made a decision to come, and it's been actually some time since we made the decision, but it took us a while to find the right piece of land in the right area, just a variety of things. And so we are here today. What you see behind you is, and I'm going to spend some time talking to you about the building, but basically this is going to be, if I've got this right, Arnold Road, is that right? Now this is Arnold Road, and this is going to be Norman Drive. So basically, we'll sit right here on this corner. That corner, for your purposes, will be, we're all sort of sitting right here at this point. We realized that you had numbers, hundreds and hundreds of people going to Houston and Austin for these services. What most people don't understand about our services particularly is most of these patients are in crisis and need to be in a safe place fairly quickly, number one. But number two, one of the most important things that we do in treatment is family therapy. But when you have to go to Houston or Austin, it's very difficult for families to be involved. We know by our studies that we have a 68% better chance of success when families are involved in treatment. So being able to bring these folks home not only is going to be convenient, but we know we're going to have a larger success rate with their recovery. And so we sit here today prepared to build a 72-bed, state-of-the-art psychiatric facility. What that will consist of is 24 geriatric psychiatric beds, 20 child and adolescent beds, and 28 adult acute beds. Now, let me explain how the building lays out. This is our main entrance here. This is actually an ambulance bay. A lot of folks present to all of your emergency rooms with any number of crises. Some of them having most of them having attempted suicide. Several of them with medical complications associated with that. And so a lot of your emergency rooms will receive these patients. And so to get them safely from the emergency rooms to our facility, the ambulances will be transporting them in a lot of cases. The sheriff transports a lot now and will continue to, but we have a separate entrance actually built for sheriffs and for ambulances to go through rather than just the main entrance for all visitors and that sort of thing. And that's going to be this turnaround right here, and it's going to have its own entrance. You can sort of see the canopy on the right of the picture here where the ambulance bay will be and the sheriff's bay. Just administrative offices through here, your typical business office, medical records, administration through here. Our assessment area is here. One of the things we pride ourselves in is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anybody from this community will be able to come to this facility and get a free clinical assessment. Because what happens is most time when folks are in crisis, we have to sit down and find out what's really going on. most folks that we see, coincidentally, in most of my hospitals that we see for these clinical assessments, don't actually need inpatient intensive services. They need a variety of other services. And so what we promise to do to the community is to facilitate those folks to the appropriate places with which they need to go for services or for help. Those who do and want our services for inpatient care, we certainly will have that available. But what we see is actually the majority of folks that we see and sit down with. It's a community resource that we offer to the community to find out what's going on with patients and their families, to be of help and to be of assistance. So this assessment area is designed for that. In addition, we will do outpatient treatment. Now the outpatient treatment we'll be doing are programmatics. Partial hospitalization, as an example, is very similar to inpatient, except the patients go home at night. It's a great level of care because they get to come back each morning and spend the day processing how their evening went. If you're recovering from drug and alcohol, what was it like passing the liquor store last night? Did you stop or did you not stop? Being in active treatment means it's a continuous process. If someone is suffering from severe depression, how did you do yesterday as you were home with the stressors of your family, your children, things going on? Partial hospitalization is a great level of care. We'll be offering that service. One step down from that is intensive outpatient, where you wean off a little bit and come 3 days a week, as an example, for those same types of services. And then, of course, the hospital is for intensive inpatient services. The average length of stay for folks in our hospital runs anywhere from 7 to 10 days. Typically, we are able, with our doctors and nurses and therapists, to get them stabilized in a 7 to 10 day period and ready to step down into these partial hospitalization intensive outpatient programs. So the outpatient area is here. In addition, this is our geriatric wing. We design our buildings very specific for this population. One of the things, as you'll notice for the geriatric, one of the things that we've learned over the years with the geriatric population is they like to wander. As a matter of fact, in some of your nursing homes and assisted livings here, some of those folks that are dealing with Alzheimer's or dealing with severe depression or a variety of issues really get very agitated when they can't wander, and because the physical plant sometimes doesn't allow them to do that. So we decided to build a physical plant that's literally a walking track inside around the nurse's station in the center. So they're in a safe place, but yet can still wander and be involved in treatment and what's going on. So that's our geriatric wing. Here are our adult wings. It's your typical dormitory-style room. Two patients to a room, their own private bathroom. We have day rooms where they'll have group therapy. They'll have individual therapy with their therapist, whose offices are all spread on each unit. We have therapist offices. We have central nurses stations. Those nurses stations are designed so that the nurses have sights of their patients at all times, down this hallway, out into the courtyard. We are a secure facility. You won't ever see razor wire, you won't ever see anything like a jail, but when you come into the building is secure, because there are times when folks are in crisis and are not sure even where they are, that they may be involuntarily committed to the facility, and when they're there, we keep them safe. But one of the things we're proud of is we build our building around a huge courtyard. That courtyard is designed for patients to still be able to get outside, but yet it's still a secure setting because it's surrounded by the building. Therapist offices from here. This will be our child and adolescent wings. This will be for children ages 5 to 17. Additionally, if you come down this way, we have additional classrooms for the children that are in the facility. We will have education while they're there. This is a half gymnasium. Again, in inclement weather, we can still exercise them and get them in activities. And this is the cafeteria and back office for the cafeteria and those sorts of things. And again, back around to the administrative wing. This facility is designed very specifically for this population. These different populations are in a variety of different states, whether it's detoxification from drug and alcohol, whether it's schizophrenia, whether it's severe depression, bipolar disorder, any number of disorders. This allows us to treat a variety of patients, and because of the way the numbers are laid out, we can actually divide those patient populations up to similar diagnoses, and they can go through treatment with folks with similar diagnoses. We will be employing over 250 staff. We have typically an average hourly wage that runs $18 or higher on an average of the entire facility. We have physicians, nurses, therapists. We call our mental health techs our direct care staff. We have psychologists, social workers. Of course, your typical business office, billing, dietary, housekeeping, maintenance, all of those types of services as well. This represents about a $12 million investment for us, all in with the land and the building and the ramp up. The building itself will take us, if I hold my construction company feet to the fire, right, Vince? It will take us 12 months. Sometimes we can get it done in 10 and 11, just depends on weather, depends on some of those kinds of things. So we expect to be sitting here 12 months from today, having all of you come back to do a ribbon cutting, to tour the building, to walk through it, to let our staff talk about the kinds of services we're going to be offering, and again, to have you understand the kinds of services we will be offering. We are excited to be partnering with a variety of folks. Number one, Tom and I started talking very early. For us as a psychiatric facility, we do not, as an example, have physicians typically around the clock like a medical surgical facility would. Our psychiatrists come and see patients and then typically go back into private practice. Having a medical facility next door truly allows us to take patients, a more medically compromised patient, because we have access to good quality care immediately available to us across the parking lot. So that was very strategic on our part in terms of really wanting to be next to a partner, a medical surgical partner, like we're going to with the Med. In addition, we're going to be partnering with the mental health. Obviously, they have been responsible for mental health services in this community for many, many years, and we are excited to be able to support one another in that endeavor and be able to partner in a variety of ways in the future. In addition, Dr. Sokolo, I want to recognize, Dr. Sokolo is the Department of Psychiatry at Texas A&M. We have agreed to partner with Texas A&M as well. They are going to be participating with us in a variety of fashions, hopefully including having our physicians here and that are also be faculty at Texas A&M. We probably will get into a variety of activities with Texas A&M, so we are so excited to be partnering with Texas A&M. And I'll tell you right now, I'm negotiating with a local CEO to bring in, to run the facility on a day-to-day basis. And I'll have to tell you, I hope that he says yes, but he's an Aggie. So he wanted me to tell you that he wears the ring. So I suppose that means something. I haven't learned that yet, but we are excited about being here. Our construction company does take, it's not a LEED certified building, that tends to run the price of a building way out of whack. I mean, part of healthcare's expenditures is part of that. We try and be very frugal with our dollars in terms of what we build. As you can see, and I would encourage you at any time, you can please go on our website at www.strategicbh, and you can see the buildings that we've built. This building, this is what it'll look like. It's very, very similar. You can see the actual building in Colorado. We opened 6 months ago, 7 months ago in Colorado. Looks very similar. 4 months ago, we opened one in Raleigh, North Carolina that we built. And so the buildings are very efficient. They are very simple. You'll notice there aren't a bunch of glass structures, or we really spend our dollars with our patients because we think they deserve that and the families deserve that. And they're good, solid buildings. And also, again, I mean, we don't make light of, you know, having a psychiatric hospital doesn't need to just sort of stand out. It really just needs to be part of the community and be there to support the community when it's needed. Because when it's needed, it's very needed. And so we are excited to be here. We specialize actually in children and adolescents in North Carolina. Just happens to be the largest need there right now. What you see with children and adolescents is some very severe need. Families that typically parents that reach their wit's end with kids, and sometimes very, very small kids. I tell folks a lot, when you start talking about the little, very small children, it's not a teenager that's just sort of acting out. There are chemical issues going on with some of these kids and these smaller kids. Sometimes the synapse doesn't fire right in the brain. And what we strive to do is spend some time understanding that and understanding how to get the chemical balance coming back. You will see children and adolescents. The adolescents, a lot of, and I'm sure you're aware of this, a lot of suicide attempts in our adolescents in our society today. We see them at that point. What we would like to see is spend a lot of time with our schools, with our juvenile justice systems, to help identify those earlier than the actual attempts. But quite frankly, I tell people ask me, why is behavioral health really such a great need in society? Well, what we don't realize about our society today, especially in America, is our juvenile justice system, our social services system, our medical care system, most of those systems were built in the United States to handle about 200 million people 20, 30 years ago. We have 300 million people in America. And we sort of forget that if you add that volume of people and need to a system, that system's going to struggle. It's going to have a hard time identifying and preventing illnesses and preventing what we're talking about. So just as a pure volume of population, statistically, we struggle with preventing suicides or attempts. And so what we'd like to do is be a real community resource to help with that. Part of what we will do will be educating in the schools and in the community on those warning signs and on those for children and adolescents. The families will be involved every day, if need be, involved in what we're doing in family therapy and visitation. We'll be a safe place for a patient to be, to begin to turn their lives around, to begin to work with their families in some very intensive therapy for, like I said, 7 to 10 days before they step back out into the community. You may have heard the term day treatment. We call it partial hospitalization programs and intensive outpatient programs. We will actually be providing transportation for those services for our patients, for the surrounding community, and bringing them back to those day services. Again, it's important for folks to stay in care. I can get you stabilized in 7 to 10 days, but you got a whole lot more work to do after that, and so we want to help support that and be able to continue to support that. So providing transportation will be key to us doing that as well for those patients from their families or from their schools to the facility.
Do y'all already have a lead or some guidance about child psychiatrists? That's a service that we don't get here, and we don't find any child psychiatrists in Texas, actually, unless we go to San Antonio.
You're correct. We actually do. I have a variety of resources around the country. That's part of what Texas A&M and I are going to partner and recruit together, because they have some particular needs as well, both from a professorship as well as this residency we're talking about. So we're going to partner and do that and bring some additional positions to the community. Absolutely. And the nice part is we have a building that allows us is large enough. The reason it's 72 beds is not just because there's a 72 bed need, but in addition, it allows us enough services with which to recruit someone to come and be busy, and a physician can make a living here seeing this number of patients.